watching those.
Those are great.
Brought me back.
Where?
Brought me back. That's from Rocky. We'll watch those eventually, too.
Okay. We're not going to do it.
Our SOs.
We're not going to do it.
You say that like as if I want to do it again.
Significant like, others. You do.
No, I don't.
You love Rocky.
You're right. Actually, I'm forgetting all this stuff that you said.
And Rocky 3.
All this stuff, now that it's coming back to me, I remembered that I only like Meredith Burgess.
And then as soon as he died, you were like, I'm out.
Yep.
But then I was like, but dude, Milo Ventimiglia comes in Rocky 6, Rocky Balboa. And it's great. Milo Ventimiglia. Don't say Robert and Sullivan. You know who I'm talking about. Milo from Heroes and Gilmore Girls.
I don't know.
And This Is Us.
I haven't seen any of those shows. I think I saw some of the first season of Heroes. I didn't watch Rise of It.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 500 Greatest Films Podcast. My name is Hector Navarro, and sitting to my left
is the good buddy.
She fucking walked all over you, dude. What are you going to do about it?
Boy, oh boy. I feel like real Feathers McGraw over here.
Yeah, Feathers McGraw.
Mr. Keller Knobloch, say hi, Keller.
Penguins as having feathers, but they do.
But they do.
But the fact of the matter is, they do.
That's true. We have a very special guest.
They're just oily. They're slick back.
We have three episodes in this next series, and we have a guest for potentially all three of them.
And the person who chose that we would go on this journey, the Wallace and Gromit journey.
Who is our guest? The nicest?
The greatest.
Most creative?
The smartest,
most wonderful, most athletic, deadliest,
most venomous,
most venomous, the most venomous,
most likely to succeed,
and least distance traveled.
Yeah,
Chelsea Pine is in the podcast tonight. Chelsea Pine. Thank you for being on the show.
I hope you don't die by the end of this sitting next to me.
Oh my God. She's going to kill us. The most lethal.
Abby's it's funny. Already out.
Just don't poison us.
I pictured like ninja skills. You went right to like, you know, she has like paint on her like a toad, like poison paint.
That's
like,
not what I want.
Most venomous.
Not that kind of venomous.
Fangs.
Okay, gotcha. Chelsea, you picked the movie series we're talking about.
Yes.
And we decided to split it up to where... we're doing two short films in this episode.
Yes.
Two short films with a little bit of a caveat, which we'll explain in the next episode. And then we're finishing this three-part series with a theatrically released feature-length feature film, film-length feature.
Curse the Were-Rabbit.
That's right. So, Keller, you get to hand off the phone to Sir Giles twice tonight.
So I've handed off to him twice. Yeah. Are we doing one and
you
then
tell
talking
me.
About it?
You tell me, brother.
And then doing another and then talking about it? Or do we want to knock out both and then just talk about it all?
It's less confusing to do one at a time.
Oh. Well, now I think we got to do one at a time. Okay. Sorry, Sir Giles. He has his tuxedo on. He's ready to head out the door. We have to tell him.
Yeah,
you
sorry,
have to
man.
Hang for like 30 more minutes.
Just wait.
30 more minutes. You just have to wait here.
You already know you're not supposed to have your shoes on this time, dude.
So when he is, Keller is handing off his phone to Sir Giles to read this first thing. I just want to real quick, before we start, ask Chelsea, were you a big fan before tonight? Like, is this something that you're a fan of, or was this something where you were like, oh, I just wanted to rewatch him?
No, I was a big fan. It was like, we were talking about VHSs that we had, and this was like the one that got worn out. I think. I don't know.
Okay.
It was a very large staple of my life.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. I feel like we were all kids around the set. Like I must have seen them on PBS dozens of times or something.
I don't remember how I saw them.
Me neither.
They just all existed in your grandmother's house. Like any grandmother had this trio of VHS.
Especially you had a British grandmother.
Yeah.
British.
She was handing them out to other grandmothers.
Yeah.
She was like...
You need Halloween.
You need to have this. You need to have
Happy old Hallows Eve. Yeah.
For your children, for your grandchildren. Yep. Here you go. Mm-hmm.
Every Christmas.
And my grandma was like, gracias. And then took it somehow out of VHS. Okay, so Sir Giles is waiting impatiently. Keller, hand him the phone so that he can read what the first short film that we're talking about. And then he can just sit there for 30 minutes. So Sir Giles, take it away. What are we talking about first? Don't do that. Don't give me that attitude, Sir Giles. Please. What movie are we talking about tonight?
A Grand Day Out.
1989 director Nicholas Wolfstein Park. Wallace and Gromit have run out of cheese, and this provides an excellent excuse for the animated duo to take their holiday on the moon, where, as everyone knows, there is ample cheese.
Thank you, Sir Giles.
I think you now need to
describe that that's not a Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is just like
that's
a
why it's different.
Synopsis off the
just
internet.
Just telling us about the movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's just a little summary of the movie. To refresh our memories, came out in 1989. It was something that Nick Park was working on.
Refresh our memories.
In college. Made
out of cheese.
He started in like 1982, like while he was in college, mm-hmm. and then got hired by Aardman Studios and was able to finish it there, or like worked there in like on the weekends or something, like was able to finish his film, but while still going to school and while being employed, I think. Anyway, A Grand Day Out. It was first called A Grand Day Out with Wallace and Gromit, and then it eventually
on the moon.
They turned it to just like Wallace and Gromit in A Grand Day Out, because everything became Wallace and Gromit in The Wrong Trousers, Wallace mm-hmm, and Gromit mm-hmm. in blank, blank, blank. Okay, let's start with our guest.
Yeah.
1989, you're a kid, you've got this on VHS.
1989, you weren't born yet.
You weren't born.
I wasn't even conceived. That's weird. I don't like thinking about that.
They did not even have sex. It was not even parental
sex. They hadn't even
sex.
Thought about it.
Hadn't even thought about it.
Well, they might have thought about it. They'd be like, maybe. Do we want to have kids?
Yeah.
They're probably like, not yet.
So Wallace
and Gromit. 2 years later, conceived.
Older than you. And
and then a few months later, born.
And then you're watching it as a kid, but then you rewatch it tonight. What are your overall thoughts after having seen it again tonight?
Only about the first one.
Honestly, every single aspect of it shaped my personality. Like, looking back and rewatching it, I'm like, oh, that's why I am who I am today.
You're an inventor. You're an inventor.
Oh,
you build rocket ships.
Mm-hmm. For all the minute weird reasons, like I love cheese.
Yes.
Okay, and spoiler tea. For the next one, I love penguins.
True. Yeah, that's true.
I'm British.
True.
Yeah. I do love dogs.
You're not that British.
People
are gonna use her as, say you say I'm British and be like, she does not have an
not
accent.
Not to me.
So I don't know. It's just like
yeah,
reiterated how much it was a part of my life.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And then remembering, I was like, oh, there was this green VHS. I know exactly what it looked like. And then looking it up, and like it was the set of three.
Yep.
So there was like each of the first three shorts were its own color. It's like blue, green, and red.
Yeah.
But I vividly remember the green one. And so after watching this one again, there was parts of like when they were building the rocket and when they landed on the moon, mm-hmm. I don't remember any of that. So I feel like whatever the third one is, I forgot the name. That was the one that I like latched onto and mm-hmm. was my favorite, but we haven't mm-hmm. watched that
and
yet.
That one, sheep.
Mm, yeah.
You love sheep.
Yeah. what did your adult brain, because I feel like I also had similar, I think we all had a similar experience watching it tonight where we were like, we remember things about this. But it feels very kind of early childhood. And this stuff is perfect for kids. It's perfect for kids. But what was your adult brain thinking as you watched A Grand Day Out?
Well, looking at the craftsmanship, I think, and also really randomly, Abby has had some clay and we've been doing little arts and crafts. And I was so upset at myself the other day when I was making my little creature that there was like fuzz and fingerprints in it. And I wanted it to be perfect because Abby has some other little creatures that mm-hmm. artists actually do that are like these perfect little clay figures.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it to be perfect. But after watching Wallace and Gromit, you see the fingerprints in the clay and all the, I know it's a little different than what we were doing, but just seeing how it was, to me, it was like the coolest, most professional thing as a kid. And it still had all these imperfections.
Totally. I mean, I think it's the same as like, when you watch the old Disney movies in the 60s where they started to leave the pencil lines mm-hmm. in, like 101 Dalmatians and Sword in the Stone, where it's like really sketchy looking. You know, they just like...
I think it looks cooler.
I love that shit, man.
Yeah.
I really do too. And I remember from being a kid and I remember thinking about this, looking at it as an adult, studying animation or whatever, but like the fact that you can see thumbprints in Wallace's nose
mm-hmm.
and, you know, on parts of Gromit's face and stuff. That's the best thing about Wallace and Gromit. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing. As cool as Kubo and the Two Strings are, as cool as Leica stuff is with its like 3D printed faces for each different facial expression and the technology, I think it's super cool. But watching this, it's like, it's
sculpted all of
charming
that.
Charming as hell.
Yes.
It's like listening to Biz Markie. You got what I need.
The song's charming.
He's not a good singer. But you say she's just a friend. But you say this he's just a friend.
This is a weird comparison. You.
But it's what? Why do people love that song? Because we
like
hear
Wallace
it
and Gromit.
And we're like, reminds them. We're like, I can sing along.
Of when they went to the moon.
I can sing along to that song. I can, you know, I can do clay figures. That's so cool. Like you just see the like the pure artistry behind it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a bad analogy. Biz Markie and Nick Park and
Wallace. I feel like
Brown.
You kind of burned Biz Markie too.
iTunes free download on one of those cards or
that
something.
That song predates Maybe. iTunes.
Really? Yeah,
but
that's an old song, right?
I mean, I don't want to diss Biz Markie, but I feel like he would know.
He's our number one listener.
His voice. He's a rapper.
Set.
He's a rapper and actor in Men in Black 2, but he's not he's known for beatboxing and rapping. He's not known for, you know, having a beautiful sounding voice. And that's the whole thing, is when you get to that point in the song, you're like, oh, if I feel this guy's like anguish and I, you know, you could just feel it. It's just raw. It's just pure,
man.
And it doesn't matter that it's not.
That's Wallace perfect. And Gromit is raw.
It is
pure.
It is.
But it is true.
Keller, what were your overall thoughts watching A Grand Day Out?
It's like you said, charming as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
In classic cartoon silliness.
Like the moon is actually made of cheese. Like,
yeah,
sure.
But
is
it?
We never establish if it is actually made out of cheese. He just keeps saying it's not like any cheese I've ever had before. And so like.
So this dude ate dust.
This dude's eaten moon dirt.
Brought it back to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next short, we see that moon cheese, what is it? Stocks.
So now it is a kind of cheese.
So.
Okay. Let's think about this then. Is it the cow that jumps over the moon that drops the milk that makes it possible for it to become cheese?
That's kid logic, and I like it. I'm all about it. Yeah, that makes sense. That like, actually makes it make sense. My question
where
is,
where are the cultures happening?
Okay.
Where is this? How are they making it happen?
Put a pin in that, brother, because I do want to talk about the logistics of A Grand Day Out, but just finish
That's
up
That's the only problem I have. I think the rocket ship is very... Probably real.
Yeah.
Probably real.
Inside
vending
of it.
Machine on the moon with arms.
What the
Definitely
hell?
Real.
Who put
Honestly,
that
Honestly, what
there?
The fuck was that about?
Who put that there?
I'm not mad about it.
It was the funniest.
But how and why?
Like, the animation of that character.
Why can he put a coin in it?
Yeah. It must have been there.
And what
from,
does it do?
I don't know.
What was it supposed to do?
Looked like he was supposed to be taking care of the moon.
Right, he was upset.
He has to have coins.
Yeah, to
and
operate.
Just wants to ski.
See, I think it was a commentary,
which
on
I did
how
like. Thank
by
you.
The late '80s, the world had stopped caring about the space program. That's what I think it is, and so you need funding to keep the space program going.
What are you talking about? This is
that's what it's about.
This is British people, though. They don't give a shit.
Yeah,
what moon
they do.
Stuff are they doing?
They, you know,
when,
look.
What space
International
program?
International Space Station.
Exactly. Thank you.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. For every Buzz Aldrin, there's four, like, Carrington Weatherers that we never heard about.
Giles went to space.
For you know, Neil Armstrong, people forget the British Neil Armstrong.
Leg weak.
Leg Weakington. of the Weakingtons.
Sit Leg Weakington.
Keller, what else did you...
Rather than Neil.
What Sit? Else did you think...
Is that where you go? Where do you go with it? Instead of kneel, what would you say? Stand? Is it stand leg week?
Yeah, stand leg week. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, any British person's name has to be the opposite of an American person's name.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's like that episode of Recess where the other school was just opposite them.
Keller,
mm-hmm.
keep telling me about what you thought after watching it. And it being charming.
This is the one I remember the least.
Me too.
I think the ones I remember most are Wrong Trousers and Close Shave.
Yep.
Close, yeah. That's
the one. That's the one.
Those are the two, I think.
Yeah.
I've seen a billion times.
Like I said, we were watching A Grand Day Out, and I was like, this is going to be my least favorite.
It's only because it's a little rough around the edges.
It.
It's still
mm-hmm.
very funny,
mm-hmm.
very charming.
But all the
slick
other ones
still.
Mm-hmm. All the other ones are just more charming and more slick and
yeah.
more, you
well,
know.
Well, we can't talk about the next one yet. But
we can talk about it. We have to talk about this for another 15 minutes,
exactly.
and then we can move on to the other.
We are already working with half the amount of material that we would in a normal
That's
episode.
True.
We don't have to stretch it to
we
a
We
can
do this.
Hour.
We could stretch it. We could stretch it.
Okay.
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 So what I think...
So who's Wallace again?
I think my... You guys have already basically covered my biggest... observations watching it tonight. Love the thumbprints. Love the feeling of like, there were moments where I was like, this feels like a student film. When Wallace is walking down the stairs into the basement,
it's so choppy.
It's so janky. It's so like, beep, boop, boop, mm-hmm. that I'm like, this feels like this was a long weekend. And
I'm
going to
break the rule I just said.
What?
And you can tell how much better it is in the next
one.
Like, it's so much cleaner.
Absolutely.
Way less
Absolutely.
Fingerprints.
Yeah.
How do we
but
feel about
still,
that?
But there's still some.
There's still some.
There's still some.
There's
but,
less.
I think that it's a conversation worth having of like, you know, do you go for, because I feel like as crazy as it sounds, people are going to be watching like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 20 years from now and being like, man, this was rough. Like, even though it's perfect.
Do you think they will?
Yes.
I don't think they.
I think people will.
I think Spider-Verse is one where they will not do that because Spider-Verse is so much of like. Mixing old school with what's happening now, I guess.
Yeah.
Old school animation with
digital.
I think it'll stand the test of time better than other things.
I hope so. I think you mean maybe that they'll be looking at Shrek and being like, this is doo-doo.
We already look at Shrek
this is
think
like
it's not great.
This is booty. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to say Spider versus booty.
I mean,
booty in the right way.
Look.
Yeah.
It's
got booty.
I would hope so. But
you know, there's a difference.
Over the weekend with the PlayStation 5 being released and the new Spider-Man Miles Morales game. Well, hang on. Let me finish this thought.
Okay.
Miles Morales in the game. Chelsea, have you seen those clips?
No.
So I got to set up for Chelsea because you know exactly what I'm talking about. In the game, you can wear different costumes.
Spider-Man's in
one of the costumes for Miles Morales is literally to look exactly like Miles does in Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
So when he's swinging through the city, it even looks...
It's a little choppy.
Like he is animated on twos.
Halftones in... Oh. Yeah.
Not halftone. Like
only with him. There's a little bit with him, right?
What? Halftones? What do you mean?
I thought they did it with whenever he was swinging. It's the same... It looks like he does in the...
The character does, but the city is still like a normal sort of looking PlayStation.
Someone's got to come up with that patch
note, which is going to be nuts. But seeing seeing Miles swing through the city, and he looks as though they're trying to copy the animation style where he's like on animated on twos versus animated on ones. So he's like a little choppy,
stilted.
a little behind, a little stilted and stuff. I was seeing people react to that and they're flipping out, but there are still people. And of course, they don't know all the sort of nuances of animation and all this other stuff where they were like, wow, this looks just like the movie. This whole thing looks just like the movie. And I'm like, Spider-Verse is that plus the backgrounds are insane.
Yeah.
And this is a completely different background.
Yeah.
It's you know, cutting and pasting and putting him in a different background. So, you know, the gamers and the Spidey fans and the people that are playing the game that might not know, you know, enough about the Spider-Verse movie, they saw it and they were like, it's 100%. It feels like I'm in the movie. And it's like, okay, well, there's, you know, it's, they're not observing it as closely.
Like,
right.
We've talked about this before. I got to see them speak about it. And just even the software they had to create, like we were talking about the halftones, there's all the textures and halftone dots from comics that they had to program into some sort of new way of animating.
Right.
And that's the mind boggling thing to me, and that's what makes it look cool, and all the glitch effects, not just the on twos animation, but like the actual colors and overlays and the mixing of colors, like in design when you blend two colors you can use multiply, and there's just so many it's just
well
so cool.
everything you just described, Chelsea, it's like maybe people won't look at Spider-Verse as a movie and go it's really rough, but everything you just described is like, they're having to program imperfections into this thing.
That's
they're
why I think it'll stand the test back, of time better.
They're going back to what Wallace and Gromit was had.
Yeah. They're which putting is that, thumbprints on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which, you know, we had just got.
Because they even do the line that you're talking about, Disney.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. We exactly. Yeah. When like when Gwen is drumming, there's like, you know, lines around her that they have
Well, not
like,
even that. Yeah. Just the lines of the like. If you're seeing, if you're looking at just the face, the lines are never the same shape on, like, if you're looking at the cheek, you'll see the, like, scratch marks and stuff of the sketching.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so it's like, we just got through watching all the Shrek movies, and that's a great example of them trying to just try to achieve some level of realism, you know what I mean? And they had to keep kind of fighting that. They're like, well...
It's still a cartoon.
Yeah, we can have human characters, but they need to still be a little bit exaggerated. Mm-hmm. The closer we get to human, like maybe the most boring looking character is the Julie Andrews Queen character because she's kind of the most normal. You know what I mean? Or some of the like side princesses that were like Fiona's friends in Shrek 3.
Yeah,
and even when Fiona was human,
Prince Charming.
Yeah, Prince Charming is really boring, but like all the other, I mean, Fairy Godmother and Rumpelstiltskin and all the ones that have stronger character designs tend to be, you know, people I think liked them and responded to them more. And I think that Shrek is a great example. By the time they got to the fourth one, they had to try to like stick real close to like strong colors and because the world was already semi-realism. Mm-hmm. Versus like Madagascar is very cartoony. Kung Fu Panda is cartoony and exaggerated. How to Train Your Dragon is even cartoony. Those the humans in that also look like cartoons. They're not like, you know, Stoic and Hiccup are not like trying to, you know, be like Final Fantasy, the spirits within or something, some realistic human. So it's been interesting to see how CG animation took over other traditional forms, stop motion and hand-drawn. And at first, everyone was like, this is going to be revolutionary. It's going to change the game. And now we're at a point where CG stuff like Spider-Verse is like, let's go back to what it looked like when we drew.
Mm-hmm. But also, it is based on comic books, and they were that's going for that as well.
Yeah. That's very, very true. Yeah, that's right. But like, man, Spider-Man is a thing that has proven successful in live action. They could have very easily tried to get a little closer to that just because it's successful. But I'm so glad they went back to the comic book animated roots. Yeah.
Well, how would you say Wallace, because we talked about how that we could see so many influences, what came after it, how many different animation, what am I trying to say? How many different TV shows and movies came out after Wallace and Gromit that you can kind of see and point to and be like, oh, I think that was directly influenced by.
You guys were saying Courage the Cowardly Dog.
That was all Abby. She was like, this reminds me of an episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog, especially when we got to Wrong Trousers with Feathers McGraw, which Feathers we'll talk about. Oh, I also think that like Grand Day Out and Wrong Trousers are great examples of just silent storytelling. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of like, because
Pixar shorts.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It reminded me of
Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes, for sure. You can see the influence from Looney Tunes in that stuff.
Yeah.
But like, it's making me think, well, I guess I want to save it until we start talking about Wrong Trousers,
Chicken
but
Run.
There's a specific example. Huge influence.
Wait,
yeah.
So Chicken Run isn't the same company.
It is.
But it's not the same
franchise.
Right.
So it's not in the Wallace and Gromit
world.
You
can't say Chicken Run if it's done by the same company.
I know.
He was joking.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm a scamp.
There was some other stuff that it reminded me. I'm trying to think too. Like, I bet you a bunch of cartoon shorts and TV shows in the 90s were influenced by Grand Day Out. Like things like Dexter's Lab. The first Dexter's Lab short is very much like, and they would make little shorts for Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon and put them on blocks of cartoons that were just like, oh yeah, cartoon. Yeah, like they're just trying stuff out, and then whatever got enough response, they would green light it into a TV show. But like the first Dexter's Lab was just Dexter and Dee Dee in his lab, and then there's a remote control that turns you into an animal, and then they kept stealing it from one another and turning it on one another and turning themselves into animals. And it's like it gets to a point where you don't need dialogue anymore. It's just like very visual. You know, it's easy to understand. Like the robot character even reminded me of the second episode of Futurama where they go up to the moon and there's a big robot that looks like an old 1950s like tractor almost, you know, like it's an interesting like retro futurism thing with once they get up to the moon. So,
and then I feel like stop motion though, I mean, there's not much to go off of now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of died out.
It's just like a,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wallace and Gromit was and the peak studio for me of what I knew.
Yep.
That makes the Wes Anderson ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which they did.
They're another British company.
Fantastic Mr. Fox and Isle of Dogs. Did it? I bet but you it's a bunch
they,
of different
Did they do Anomalisa?
Oh, maybe. Oh, maybe.
Yeah. What have they done that's not Wes Anderson?
That drama. I'm curious. Maybe even like, maybe Corpse Bride. Because I feel, because remember.
That's a different.
We were looking
what's
up,
that guy's name?
But we were looking up Henry Selick. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, that's
who
it.
Who did Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was looking up one of the producers of The Iron Giant. This woman that was working with Brad Bird and Warner Brothers and stuff. And she was taking a lot of heat and as a producer on the movie. And it was a difficult experience. But she went on afterwards to work on, I think, Corpse Bride. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then the Wes Anderson stop motion. So, like, I feel like people that have worked in that world producing that kind of films, they kind of keep doing it, even if it's at different studios and different places. Because,
but
like you said, Chelsea.
There's not many studios that do it.
Exactly. Exactly. Or, and you know what else is probably the most major stop motion animated thing of the past 10, 15 years is probably Robot Chicken. Is that show that's
shit.
Like, there's a whole studio called Stupid Buddies, Stupid Monkey or Stupid Buddy Studios that is like. Here in Burbank or whatever that also does the, you know, what's like with action figures and different things, but
celebrity deathmatch or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like it probably, it stemmed from that too. I remember that. That's crazy. That was stop motion.
There was so much stop motion animation.
There
in
was
the 2000s.
The
and
first
90s, in the aughts,
the first South Park is technically stop motion animation.
Paper
it's
cutout,
literally paper cutout.
That's
cool. Yeah, and then they did a computer
immediately
after because they're like, we cannot do this.
We got to just go into
take forever.
Microsoft
take forever.
Paint, make circles.
And then they got it to a point where they could do a show in a week, which is kind of amazing. But yeah, I think Wallace and Gromit was
anybody
the peak.
Can do a show in a week if it looks like shit.
Yeah.
Ooh,
but the funny
shots
thing is,
fired, South Park.
They know it looks like shit.
Right, but
that's
sometimes,
the deal.
You know, it does, and it's all. Recycling of characters and different things, but like the fun stuff is when South Park does pull off like a pretty cool looking thing once a week. You're like, dang, you did this in 6 days, that's cool,
because they probably have animators who want to be ambitious at the same time, and they're like, we're just doing our stupid jokes,
we're working on something. And then question to you guys, I think we can start diving into this, is what's your favorite stop motion animated thing ever? Is it Wallace and Gromit? Does it get any better than that?
My favorite's Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That's right.
I love Fantastic Mr.
Fox. I think my favorite might be Kubo and the Two Strings, which I think is super cool. And it's in 3D, but you know.
But it's also half CG.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of CG into it. There's a lot of CG. But then it's like, look, you're going to get into it like that. Okay, is The Lion King live action or animated?
Say it.
Yeah.
And it is technically, sure,
animated. Sure.
People worked on it and animated a bunch of fucking animals. Sure.
If that's the case, maybe my favorite animated...
My favorite animated movie is...
Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool.
Avatar.
Chelsea, is this your favorite stop motion thing?
I feel like it is. I like Corpse Bride, but for more of the nostalgia reason of the music rather than the characters or the story itself.
Sure,
and
sure.
Wallace and Gromit is just what, like... It just lives in your heart always.
It's the best. And you guys just started Frankenweenie, but you didn't finish it recently,
true,
right?
True, yeah.
True, okay. But you got it in 3D, so we'll
do
that.
I got that 3D Blu-ray. I want to watch that.
I feel like Fantastic Mr. Fox is like a spiritual successor of the Wallace and Gromit stuff, and that you see all the imperfections all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fur is moving constantly.
That's a great point.
Like it's pure stop motion.
That's the thing that when those movies, that one and Isle of Dogs came out, the critics were like, it's great because you can see the imperfection. Yeah. Like that's something that they talked about. And that I think that does stem from W&G. All right. Hand the phone back over to Sir Giles.
Okay, dude, come back.
Okay. He's
itching.
He
tried to leave.
He's itching. He's pointing to his wrist like, I know.
Hey,
okay.
Giles, even after you read this one, you're not allowed to go out.
You have to stay.
You're not allowed to go out. Yeah, I know.
Not anymore.
COVID times.
Yeah, I know. He's an asshole. I know.
Yeah, I'm not letting him come back in this house after he goes on.
I know. He's walking around coughing. I'm like, you're an asshole, Sir Giles.
He hangs out with dirty people, too.
Yeah, it's just dirty dirt. You know, like Pigpen from Peanuts.
Got clouds of dirt.
That's his best friend, is Pigpen.
Uh-huh.
It's gross.
And also, Pigpen is 60 gross. Years old now.
I know. So it checks out.
Still hasn't bathed.
Checks out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hand the phone to Sir Giles so we can talk about the next short film. And whatever else we think is, whatever strikes our fancy. Sir Giles, go ahead, take it away.
The Wrong Trousers, 1993. Director, Nicholas Wolfston Park. Wallace takes in a new lodger, a devious penguin. Sporting some techno trousers. This is so much.
Read it.
Don't interrupt me again.
Read it, Sir Giles.
The penguin plans a grand theft, a plan that involves putting Wallace in danger. Will Gromit be able to stop the feathered fiend?
That's real cute. Thank you, Sir Giles.
Yeah, go back to your room, Giles.
Go back to your room and stay in there, you motherfucker.
You stay in there.
Don't you come out for any reason.
We got to keep ourselves safe and healthy.
Keep ourselves safe and healthy. Okay.
I feel like we're 10 Cloverfield Laning.
Oh, absolutely. Giles. Absolutely.
It's fine out there.
I will melt him. I will melt him in a oil drum of acid.
Mm-hmm.
Love The Wrong Trousers. I love it a lot more than A Grand Day Out. Chelsea, overall thoughts, The Wrong Trousers, go.
Yes, agreed. Way, I don't know, it's more fun. Also, I think,
you
so
love
if
that
the first
penguin.
One, well, yes, we'll get there in a second. First one came out in 89. I was born in 92. This came out in 93. So
you remember going to the theater.
You were one and a half
years old.
No, but like that three pack, maybe, I don't know if it, or maybe it was just the two, the one that came out in 93 and then whenever the last one came out. Mm-hmm. Those were just with me more.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. So again, shaping my personality, I love penguins. And clearly because, well, multiple reasons, but this is one of them. And then in high school, I was in a art program called Freestyle Academy. My senior and junior.
You were so smart.
Here's
the thing about Chelsea. When I said earlier she's the smartest,
she
was so smart.
Simultaneously.
She convinced her school to join two grades so she could be the only senior.
You were also
school.
The only person in all of your classes. They had to hire all new teachers.
It's like it was a crazy like middle grade where she was like, look, I'm so smart, I need to graduate. And they were like, you can't. You're 12.
Like,
and then she's like,
you
okay.
You got to buckle down.
Then
you
I'll
got,
be a junior
senioritis.
Senior. I'll be a senior. I will be a senior mixed with a junior.
Well, soon you'll be a senior.
Yeah.
Now you're a junior.
Yeah.
Genius
so she did
junior.
It. So yeah. She did middle school and high school in 2.5 years, just like powered through it.
Yeah.
Boom.
You were done, what, 12?
And then this art academy, this is an amazing art wizards academy. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I was at something called Freestyle Academy, and I did that my junior and senior year in addition to my regular classes. But we could choose between, so we had English class and design class there, which was photography and graphic design. And then we got to choose two electives. It was either film or animation and web audio is what it was called. Mm-hmm. And we did animation in that. So
web audio, like podcasts?
It was designing websites and learning how to do audio recording.
Oh,
I don't know
cool.
why they got lumped together.
Yeah, web audio is weird.
Yeah,
but
again,
it was great.
Chelsea was so smart. She goes, look, this is an interesting class. This is an interesting class. Combine them because I want to learn about
the web.
And I'll do audio, but I'm going to make a new class called
the web
audio.
Sounds like.
Yeah, I can do both at the same time. They're no, you absolutely cannot. And she was like, yes, I can.
Yes, I can. And I can make all of my projects based around penguins.
Yes.
Is that what you did?
I think it was my junior year. My friend Danielle and I, we had to create an animation together, and we both love penguins. So we made an animation called World Domination, where there was this penguin that tried to take over the world.
Love
so,
it.
Wait, what?
Love it.
Wait, watching
what?
This, I was like, oh,
that's
our idea was not original at all.
Wow.
And the Madagascar movies. Those are devious penguins as well.
But they're always on the side of good.
Are they?
The penguins of Madagascar?
I got to watch those movies.
Kowalski, Rico, they're good dudes.
They're hilarious.
You know what? And that's also probably a huge, huge thing that's been influenced by this as well.
Yeah, just Madagascar penguins.
The weird focus on animals. Know, and doing secretive stuff, and like The Secret Life of Pets is another example of, you know, it's just a...
We bought a zoo.
Same thing. That's great. That's a Matt Damon drama. Chelsea, what's your favorite penguin movie? First of all, did you guys see the penguins movies on Disney Plus?
Like the docs?
Yeah.
No.
I think I saw... actually, it was just March of the Penguins. My mom and I went to see.
That's Morgan Freeman. That's a classic.
But I don't know if I've seen the Penguins nature doc.
This new one was really good, and it was narrated by Ed Helms, so it was a little annoying. But they crafted an actual story around, like, that. You know, they took all the different footage of all the different penguin over like a couple years and were able to make a story that was super compelling. And then they put out a doc on Disney Plus that was like the making of that movie.
That's cool.
And it's super interesting how they're setting up a camera next to like a hole, you know, and then a penguin just comes up and they're like, oh my God, oh my God. Like that whole thing of like, holy shit.
They did it behind the scenes of the planet. Earth show. Yeah. And that's a lot of what it is. We've been sitting here for six hours and the animal won't come out. We're trying to see a snow leopard. We can't find one.
It's great.
That's how British people
are. It's a bunch of dudes.
I work
from
Kentucky. For David Attenborough. David Attenborough asked me to come out here find a snow leopard.
I was at my school. They said, you could either be a senior or you could go work for David Attenborough. I said, okay.
Y'all see all them snakes chasing that laser?
I said, I'm bored. I'm too good to be a senior. I'm going to go ahead and go film penguins.
I was a Frothmore.
Also, when was the last time you've seen the Happy Feet movies?
A Softman.
A while ago. I want to rewatch them.
I need to get... Because I like
have Surf's Up.
Oh, and you... did you?
Speaking of another penguin movie.
But I love Happy Feet more.
I love Surf's Up. Maybe more, but I do...
I think this is my favorite penguin movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
Have we really explained who the penguin is in the wrong trousers yet?
Feathers McGraw.
Yeah.
The name reveal is at the end, motherfucker.
Yeah,
it's great.
In disguise as a chicken.
Yep.
And so everybody's out looking for this chicken.
Amazing.
But turns out it's a penguin the entire time.
And it's such a silly, great idea.
That's such a funny bit to just put a glove on his head.
Yeah. And the rubber sound effects. And he like snapped it on and he was like, all right. And like he's slicking his little feather back, you know, his little wing.
We didn't talk about it, I don't think, in the first one, but the fucking music in these is so good.
Let me say, the music is fantastic, but especially in The Wrong Trousers.
When the cue that hits whenever he walks in the room for the first time, the penguin, it goes so ominous and so scary. And you're like, this is a penguin.
It's theatrical.
And we are terrified of this penguin.
And like I said to Chelsea right before we started filming, like just the theme for Wallace and Gromit is such a great theme.
As soon as it played, I was a child again.
You're like, oh yeah.
Because I did not remember it at all. And I remember even just the commercial that used to come on all the time. Get all three for
And then like right after that, a commercial for Zoobooks or something. Yeah. Wallace and Gromit, The Adventures on VHS. Get them.
Get them. I'm out here shooting snow leopards and I'm slanging VHS tapes.
Get them while they're hot. Come on. Ding, ding, ding. Come on in. Get these VHSs.
It's just a guy.
One's blue, one's red, one's green.
It's a guy in a nature tent. Just like with two VCRs.
Well, hi.
Making VHS tapes.
Well, hi.
Quick, turn off the rewind. We got one coming up.
Here we go. Love this. And what I wanted to say earlier was... when you were talking about like what could you see having been influenced by the Wallace and Gromit shorts, this is also The Wrong Trousers is such a perfect film because it is so visual and it has a great mystery and it's so compelling and it's so simple.
And it also has a billion elements going on.
Absolutely. But it's
a bonkers plot.
But it's this great reveal of like Wallace is out of money.
Yes.
Somehow, but then still has enough money to like repaint
buy
a room.
And also
like,
buy ex NASA pants.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, the premise was that he got those so that Gromit could go on walks by himself, which is like, okay, sure.
I like it.
But the important thing is it added to the creative storytelling later.
Yeah.
Right? The Wrong Trousers. But then he needs a tenant. So then a penguin walks in. And before you have time to think about this, the penguin stops at the foot of the stairs. Looks at Gromit, and it's this feeling
of
like
terrifying music cue hits.
Like, Like, I we're watching, and I think Abby was like, who the fuck is this penguin? Like, it's just like, whoa, the attitude in here, the vibe in here is not chill. This is not chill.
It goes so tense.
And so, and it's
a cute penguin.
So cute.
By all accounts.
It's so cute. And it's just giving you little by little by little until it's telling you, like, he's up to something. And he goes and measures a wall with a cool little tape. Like, it's not
a cool
tape.
It's a tape measure. Sequence. It's not a cool little
the tape measure. The tape measure is normal.
It's a cool little yellow thing that comes out of this ball. And
it's
it just
normal.
It tells you how long.
But that whole
is.
Sequence was cool because he uses it like a grappling hook.
Yeah.
Like he goes, you know, gets up there. And Gromit's spying on him with the little holes in the box and everything. And so you're still like, I don't know what he's doing. And then Gromit gets back home. And it's just very simple diamond heist. Like it's not. You know, it doesn't have to be more simple than that. It's very kid friendly. Like he's a diamond thief.
And also, you know, the whole
before that he sees a wanted poster of
yes,
a chicken.
Of the chicken.
Of the chicken.
Chicken wanted.
During the time when he leaves because he feels unwanted.
And he pauses and he thinks about it, but doesn't No.
And in the background, Wallace is being taken on a ride for like the pants test run. Like I love that the chicken penguin, the penguin
Feathers McGraw,
does a test run on Wallace first to be like Gromit, like he's out of control. So then he brings him back, and Wallace like knocks out. He's so tired, and so he's like, okay, I'm gonna do this heist tonight. And it's just so it just keeps getting more and more and more creative. And what I was gonna say was, I feel like the world of animation can continue to teach that lesson to live action. Across the board, television, movies, everything. To me, when Brad Bird directed Mission Impossible, that's what Brad Bird brought, is this feeling like when Tom Cruise is outside of the building and he has to go and break in to like hack the servers and then come back in, it's so simple and it just becomes very like, it is like animation. It is like a cartoon because it's just, like, you know, red and blue gloves, and one of the gloves doesn't work and he throws it, and it's just tension building, but it's not like overly plotty and characters talking, and you don't have to know the English language to get that storytelling. And that's why Mission Impossible movies do very well internationally. And that's why I think Wallace and Gromit, like the Minions movies, even though I don't like them, those movies rely on a lot of just physical humor and, you know, little bits and stuff like that. So like Wallace and Gromit comes out and you don't need to even know English or anything about Britain to, you know what I mean? Like you can show that to anybody in any language and they'll understand what's happening. They might go, why is there a penguin there? But that's funny. and then there's like a whole heist that happens, and it's just like the way that it's sort of plotted out is so simple.
Using the trousers to frame Wallace.
And the crane toy that comes out of the helmet to grab the diamond. And
Chelsea
like,
was like, well, now how's he going to get it? And right as you said it, a claw came out of his helmet.
Exactly, yeah.
And then I was like, why would you choose the claw mechanism? You could choose a scoop.
A scoop. Something.
Pick anything else. You know, like one of those pooper scoopers.
It's a great moment of tension where it slips out.
And I think they're just doing the claw game bit.
Yeah.
And they're just doing the joke.
And it's also very
it's like a claw game.
Then it makes you go like, come on, this penguin's that smart. He could have created something a little better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The penguin has no inventive capabilities, apparently.
Well, because he had to read
Mechanics
Gromit's,
for Dogs, Electronics for Dogs, which is a callback to the first movie.
Grand Day Out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he Gromit is the smartest of them all, though.
Yep.
Because at one point in the first one, Keller was like, oh, good job, Wallace, on building a rocket. I was
I'm
like,
really
that was all Gromit.
Sorry.
Yeah. Gromit.
I'm
Gromit.
Really sorry.
Gromit.
Yeah. And that music during that whole sequence was just so theatrical and so great. And it's just such a crowd pleasing, fun experience to watch both of these shorts. And I cannot wait to see A Close Shave. And I know that Curse of the Were-Rabbit's going to be.
And the other one.
Great, right. But what I was going to say was.
The bread one.
We're going to do A Close Shave and A Matter of Loaf and Death.
Yes.
On one episode next week, even though the movie is released in between.
Yes.
So, you know, we're just going to have to bite the bullet a little
bit. Please forgive us. Please don't hold it against us.
Yeah.
Please don't give us any one-star reviews because we went out of order.
I miscalculated.
Yeah.
I miscalculated.
We didn't miscalculate anything.
I did.
We did it. This is the way we wanted to do it.
I looked at the four shorts and I was like, perfect. We'll do two each episode. Not thinking, no, idiot. Curse of the Were-Rabbit comes out in between episodes 3 and 4, or
yeah,
the shorts
right.
3
you
and
really
4.
Let us down.
And A Matter of Loaf and Death, you know it's going to reference Curse of the Were-Rabbit. You
Why?
Know it is.
Why?
Because I remember that it did.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever seen that one.
Just how, like, after the Simpsons movie came out, the first episode of the Simpsons, like, opening where Bart's skateboarding through Springfield, it's the Springfield from the movie. Because, like, the effects of the movie, just for that opening.
They're like, we have this.
Yeah.
We should use it.
Yeah, we should use it. I think the same thing's going to happen with that. But even still, I think it's cool that we're going to end with the movie. Because when Curse of the Were-Rabbit came out, that was, like, the height of Wallace and Gromit's success.
Until in a way. What did you say that was?
2005.
Oh.
2005.
What was 2015?
2015 is like Shaun the Sheep stuff. That's phew, they're still.
And that, we're not counting that.
Yeah. It's considered spinoff. So it is in the Wallace and Gromit shared universe.
Well, here's the deal. We did watch Puss in Boots, which is technically a spinoff.
We did. We did. Do you want to do Shaun the Sheep movies?
I don't know. There's so many Shaun the Sheep movies.
There's two Shaun the Sheep movies, and then we could ignore the TV shows if you guys want.
There's not that many. Yeah.
I mean,
let's play it by ear.
Okay, we'll play it by ear. I don't know anything about Shaun the Sheep.
Me neither. I know he's a sheep.
I do know that the writer director loves sheep because you can see in the pictures throughout Wallace's house.
Yep.
All the. He loves sheep. He loves cheese. Mm-hmm. What else was there?
Sheep, cheese,
crackers, tea time.
Tea.
But like in the pictures. What were in the pictures?
The framed photos. There was a framed photo of cheese above his bed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A framed photo of a sheep on the way down into the basement.
Oh, there was, I think, a framed photo of a mouse because we saw all the little mice.
When they put their glasses on.
That was so funny. Mice sunglasses.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they know what they're doing.
The other thing about Wrong Trousers that's kind of interesting is like when, so there was a couple changes from when the short originally came out to now where it's just music licensing issues. So originally when Gromit opened that card that played the little song, it was Happy Birthday. But then they changed it at some point for like a VHS or DVD or whenever they re-aired it to be like For He's a Jolly Good Fellow, just to avoid rights issues. Because that was at the time where, remember those two women were like, Happy Birthday song, we own the rights to that. And then years and years, like
anybody can do it. Watch this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Gromit.
Not those ladies.
Happy birthday to you.
Almost Keller.
I hope those ladies burn in hell. I hope those ladies
burn in hell.
Is that too far? Burn in hell forever for stealing this song.
And many more.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, it's too early to tell, but like, I think we're all at this table in agreement. Wrong Trousers is better than Grand Day Out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to like A Close Shave the most.
I don't know. That penguin.
That penguin.
God damn it, that penguin.
And can I say this? The sequence where, the beginning of the movie sets
the
up
train the sequence. Train.
This little toy train, boop, boop, that comes through, which is a great little setup at the beginning. Then there's a whole chase on the
track.
Like,
Gromit
it's
laying
so
out
good.
That track is so good.
Yeah.
And like
turning it.
And like weaving between the table and chairs.
Yeah. Catching Feathers McGraw in that little bottle because he like, because Gromit like hits at the
Feathers
end.
Feathers McGraw.
Such a great name.
What a great film villain.
Absolutely. I want that to be a band name. Mm-hmm. What kind of music would they play?
Tim McGraw.
Country Western. Right? It would be like country western versions of
named
like
Feathers McGraw.
TV themes is what it would be.
Okay.
Like twangy version of Cheers. That's what Feathers McGraw would play.
Making your way in the world today. Takes everything you got.
Yeah, that's what it would be. Feathers McGraw would be like,
wouldn't you like?
Remember right. Anyway. Hold on. Don't sing anymore.
Who's even Feathers McGraw would be like, hey, I get requests for this little diddly all the time.
This little ditty all the time.
When no one told you that life was
gonna be this way.
Come on, clap along. Clap, 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 clap.
It's clip, clop, clip, clop.
Clip, clip, clop, clip, clop. Yeah, that's right. That's what Feathers McGraw would be. Anyway, train chasing at the end was fantastic.
Yeah.
Highlight of the movie for me.
Yeah. Highlight of the short movies.
It, you know what? What else it reminded me of? Remember when at the beginning, Wallace came out and landed in his normal pants and fell, you know, and like they had like the little breakfast contraption. And I was like, this reminds me of Ant-Man. And you guys were like, what?
I was like, what the fuck are you talking
because
about?
Because there's a scene in the movie Ant-Man where Paul Rudd doesn't know what's happening.
He has
kidnapped.
Breakfast.
He has like a coffee cup when they're at a table And I feel like it's almost like similar shots. And instead of Wallace, it was like Michael Douglas telling him, like, I'm the Ant Man. And, like, you know, he showed him with the little ants, like, grabbing sugar cubes and putting him into...
Oh, yeah.
And Paul Rudd's learning. But then I remembered, it's also the fact that The Wrong Trousers ends with a train, toy train chase. And at the end of Ant-Man...
There's a toy train
chase. There's a toy train fight with Ant-Man and Yellowjack. They're fighting in his daughter's bedroom. And it's like they're throwing trains at each other. And so, like, it felt like, oh, yeah... This is where the big climax of this movie happens, is inside of a room.
They ripped off Peyton Reed to see Wallace
and Gromit. I bet he's a huge fan.
How could you not be?
Who isn't? Do we know anybody who isn't?
No.
Well, Abby hadn't seen them.
That's true. True. But I checked in with her after.
We were done. She hated it.
I said, did you like them? She said, yes. So she's a fan.
Okay. That's confirmation.
She's a fan. And I was like, I think you're going to like Curse of the Were-Rabbit. And then I... kicked her out so that we could record this.
We have to fucking record
now. And then she turned our fire off.
We need radio silence. No, it keeps coming back on and off.
No, but she turned it off and then we made her turn it back on.
Yeah. Oh. She was like, I'm hot. And Chelsea and I were like, we're not. We don't like this fire.
Live.
And then she turned it off.
For your temperature, she's like,
well, I'm not going to be in this room anyways. Then turn it back on, please.
Turn it back on. And then she did.
We've been roasting s'mores this whole time.
That's true.
Just eating s'mores.
We just roasted Abby. Oh.
Boom.
Boom. Roasted.
Yeah.
Boom roasted.
Maybe we should have turned out that fire. So okay.
We got 9 more minutes to spare.
What do you mean? We don't have to fill the whole hour.
We have to. Okay. We can already be done?
Yeah.
I can read that review we got.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and do that.
Okay.
This is a bonus ep. I want to remind everybody and thank everybody for joining our Patreon. We've got bonus episodes, including we just did Conan the Barbarian.
Yep.
Which is a great bonus episode.
Coming up.
Teenage Mutant
Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles from 1990.
We need to put up that poll again. We keep saying it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just fucking do it.
We do.
We're bad.
It'll be up. By the time you're listening to this, you can go to the Patreon and vote on what movie Keller and I will do a commentary for. We'll record a commentary.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not any movie, but whatever's up on the poll. So that's going to be cool. Okay, what comment do we have? What post?
This is from HTHR Rose 88. Heather Rose 88?
Maybe.
I don't know. A lot of love for this podcast. 5 stars. It was recommended on Twitter, and I'm so glad I checked it out.
What?
It has gotten me through some tough times during quarantine. They have great guests and wonderful chemistry. I'll be a listener for as long as they continue to make episodes. I very rarely write reviews, but these guys deserve it. Thank you, Hector and Keller.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Chelsea, great guest. They're talking about you.
Yeah, talking about you.
They knew you were going to be on this. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Down here is especially Chelsea.
Heather, what is it? Heather or HT?
Rose?
HTHR Rose. Heather Rose 88. Or Rose 88.
That's awesome.
Horatio 88.
Yes.
Horatio R.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words. This has gotten me through tough times of quarantine too, man. Yeah. It's been awesome to be able to.
It's something to do. Stuff.
It's something. First of all, secondly, the fellowship. But firstly, it's something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing better than, hey guys, you want to take 4 weeks to watch these Shrek movies, 5 including Puss in Boots,
mm-hmm.
and everyone said fine.
6 including the musical.
Yeah, and everyone's like, okay.
And everybody's like,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, we did it. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
No more Shreks ever. Now we're in Wallace and Gromit land, baby.
Yeah, baby.
It's good.
Wallace and Gromit land.
It's full of cheese. It's full of thumbprints.
Mm.
It's full of clay.
It's full of toy trains, penguins, animals, and rubber gloves.
Yeah. Yep.
Animals.
Diamonds.
Are you guys looking forward to Close Shave?
Jam.
Yes.
Matter of Loaf and Death.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But of course.
This is one of those tricky things where, like, these are going to be short because they're shorter films that
they're
watching.
They're called shorts.
They're short. They're 30 minutes a pop. But also, it's just across the board so good. What can we... Because we had a great discussion about Conan the Barbarian because we're talking about the movie. We're talking about the subject matter. You know, this is just the most delightful... Do you know what I mean? Harmless kind of...
Doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
No, it does not. There's not a woman in it. But Curse of the Were-Rabbit's got some ladies.
There were some,
I think even one of the other ones.
Shorts,
did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some behind the scene names were women.
Yeah, that's true. Not enough, but you know.
Yeah.
Hey. This isn't Zootopia, you know what I'm saying? This is Wallace and Gromit. Just put it on, enjoy it, have some cheese and some crackers.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would eat cheese and crackers now. During Zootopia too, though. I would do that. Me too. I would do it.
Me too. But we really should, next time we watch these, we for real should put out some cheese.
Yes.
And crackers.
This motherfucking bald guy is going to keep talking about cheese that way. I'm going to be like, I need some cheese.
Yeah.
This is
it
a lot.
Made me want cheese, and it's me like, too. I don't normally just like...
They're eating clay.
I'm never like craving some cheese.
They're eating clay.
That's another good point.
It looks great.
Like that toast he ate.
Ugh.
And it sounded so good.
With
it
the jam.
Great.
It was clay.
Cracking clay. Toast.
It was
Gromit.
Clay.
Oh, clay.
Cracking toast. The paint or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When it and another beautiful moment of comedic perfection is Gromit lands backwards. He looks over. He knows that the thing sent the jam. He looks at the toaster. Toaster goes, poof. No toast comes up. He looks back up. Jam hits him in the face. Like that sequence is so perfect.
It takes so long that the jam would have already hit his face.
Yeah.
But you don't care because
but
it's funny.
You have to.
I like to giggle.
It's all about the
I don't know. What's it going to say?
Pancake. And sometimes comedy is about what you least expect.
And this a pancake.
Did you guys see that Twitter account that 8 years ago tweeted that as like a Rocky Horror Picture Twitter account that was like, I'm like dying with and then it was like 9 years later they responded. They're like, patient, and people are like, this is out of control.
Oh fuck, I forgot I had that Twitter account.
That's probably what it was.
I want to watch Rocky Horror again.
It's pretty good. We'll do that and Spider-Verse right now. So guys,
conversely,
go watch the final
Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Go watch the final two Wallace and Gromit short films, and they're available where, Keller?
On Amazon Prime, where we watch these, and
yeah.
VHS.
Yeah, apparently.
$12
online. Chelsea's grandma.
She'll give you a copy. Hey, thank you so much to our guest, Chelsea Pine.
Thank you,
for
Chelsea.
Sharing your childhood memories, but also your adult creative brain.
Thanks. Also your venom.
Yeah.
Also your
deadly ninja skills.
Deadly ninja skills.
Yeah, you know, for being
I had all those. Mm-hmm.
The
you
one do. And only senior, just the smartest student in
one
high
and
school.
Only senior.
Mm-hmm. What were you, Keller?
I was a Frothmore.
I feel like that's
a Frothmore.
I feel like that's when you're a sophomore age, but you get held back and you have to do ninth grade again. You're a Frothmore.
Yep.
Okay, everybody, go watch those Wallace and Gromits, and we'll be back in a week. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.